الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله تبارك وتعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: لعلكم تتقون. وقال تعالى: ذلك الكتاب لا ريب فيه هدى للمتقين الذين يؤمنون بالغيب ويقيمون الصلاة ومما رزقناهم ينفقون والذين يؤمنون بما أنزل إليك وما أنزل من قبلك وبالآخرة هم يوقنون أولئك على هدى من ربهم وأولئك هم المفلحون. آمنت بالله، صدق الله مولانا العظيم، وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. Ulama Ikram, most respected elders, brothers and sisters who may be listening, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We are on the 14th of Rajab, and about 1.5 months away, or 6 weeks away, from the holy month of Ramadan. And as we hear every year in and out, the purpose of the month of Ramadan is to adopt taqwa, to become a muttaqi. And not only is that the purpose of the month of Ramadan, but the purpose of our very existence. That is the purpose, that is the objective. That is why we have been sent, is to become the muttaqeen. Our Shaykh Hazrat Maulana Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi used to say, تاکہ تمہارے غلامی کے سروں پہ میں اپنی ولایت کا تاج رکھ لوں. That so that I can put, we have Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has sent us into this world so that he can put the crown of wilayat on our heads, which are the heads of slaves. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala can make us his walis, can make us his friends. And that is the purpose and objective. And taqwa, usually we say, is to do the things which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has asked us to do, to abstain from the things which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has asked us to abstain from, to become Allah conscious, to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to be aware that He's watching us at all times, to be ba khuda, to be with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our public lives and in our private lives. Ke tu ba khuda jaise rehta hai jalwat mein, waisi hi ho teri khalwat ki baat hai. This is the purpose and objective. And I thought of spending a few jummas speaking and discussing about the qualities of the muttaqeen. Because Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has mentioned the qualities of the muttaqeen in different parts of the Holy Quran. And in an effort to prepare for the month of Ramadan, which is for taqwa, it's a good idea to know who these muttaqeen are, what salient features and qualities they have in their lives, so that we can use the next 6 weeks or so to start developing those qualities within ourselves, so that when the time of Ramadan comes, it doesn't just come and go and we are found wanting and we haven't really benefited from that. We have to program ourselves. We have to make our minds want to do things, and then there is no limits to what a man can achieve. I might have mentioned it before. I met a brother once in Dubai, and he told me that, Maulana, I went skydiving. So skydiving is where the person jumps from the aeroplane. And sometimes you see it on the television or on a screen, and it doesn't look that scary because people are holding hands and it just looks like they're enjoying themselves in the sky. So I wanted to find out, but what is it? What is it that you skydive? You can't see the person falling, but he said it's a free fall. The aeroplane flies up and you jump off from there, and it's an absolutely free fall. So he said, Maulana, for 30 seconds you just jump and you somersault and you do what you have to do. So I said, then after 30 seconds, what do you do? He said, you pull one lever here and the parachute comes out. So I said, and if the parachute doesn't come out, he said, then it's another 30 seconds all the way down. Another 30 seconds all the way down. So imagine what a dangerous thing it is. It's life risking. Yet people do it because they program themselves. They can lose their limbs, they can lose their life, they can lose everything that they have, but yet they do it because they program themselves. They want to achieve something. Hazrat Maulana Yunus Patel Sahab Rahmatullah Alayhi, he used to say on many occasions that many of those people who went to climb Mount Everest, they still go and climb Mount Everest, even though they know that many who went to climb went to rest forever. Don't they climb it still? They went to rest forever. They died whilst climbing those slopes. But they still went and did it because they programmed themselves. They wanted their names also to be recorded amongst the records. Hazrat Mufti Taqi Usmani Sahab, Damat Barakatum, he mentions that at some falls, in the Niagara Falls perhaps, there is a rope from one side of the falls to the other side, and people walk across that rope. And if you fall from those falls, then no one is going to even come and bother to look for you. But yet people do it so that their name can be written. And they program themselves. So there is no limit to what man can achieve. And the crown and the of wilayat and the crown of the friendship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not restricted to a certain class or group of people. It is there for the taking, for anyone to take, provided he does a little bit from his side, and it's not much that a person needs to do. Our Shaykh Hazrat Maulana Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi used to say that in order to adopt taqwa, a person doesn't require a lot of mehnat. Mehnat in Urdu means hard work. A person does not require a lot of hard work. But what he does require is a little bit of himmat. Himmat means courage. That is what a person has to. A person has to program himself. If you program your washing machine for short runs, is there any way it's going to do a thorough wash? You set it at a short runs, so it's not going to do a thorough wash then. So the same way, if we are going to program ourselves before the month of Ramadan, that these are the qualities that we want to bring into our lives, so that we can be worthy of those people who have appreciated the month of Ramadan. If we program ourselves that we want to recite and complete Quran Sharifs during the month of Ramadan, which is the rite of the month, then there is no limit to what can't be achieved. We can achieve it. I often mention that I heard recently that there is a lady in Johannesburg in our times, not in times before, who completes a complete recitation of the Quran Sharif every single day in the month of Ramadan. And what's more interesting is she's not even a hafiz of the Quran Sharif or a hafiza of the Quran Sharif. And it's not that she's doing that so she leaves out all her other chores. It's all about programming. It's all about programming, that you want to achieve it, so then you put things into place so that you can achieve it. Nevertheless, I thought of discussing a few of the qualities of these muttaqeen servants of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala that Allah ta'ala mentions in the Holy Quran. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala in the very opening chapter of the Holy Quran, in Surah Al-Baqarah, or the second chapter of the Holy Quran, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, he says, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابِ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ. Not like the musannifeen or the authors of this world who in the introductions to their books, they often write that, you know, if there's any mistake, I dedicate this book to so-and-so, and if there's any mistake, please keep me informed about it. Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala says, this is the book, there's absolutely no doubt in it. There's no mistakes, there's no errors. It's absolutely divine. It is from Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. It's there for the taking. ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابَ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهُ هُدَى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. And it is a guidance for those who have adopted taqwa. It is a means of guidance for those who have Allah consciousness, who have the fear of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala in their hearts. It is for them. And then Allah Ta'ala mentioned some of their qualities, and that is what I want to discuss. Some of those qualities that are mentioned here and perhaps in other places of the Holy Quran as well. So Allah Ta'ala says that the first salient quality of these believers who have taqwa and for whom the Holy Quran is a guidance, and for those who have achieved the goals of the month of Ramadan and the objectives of their lives, then their quality is الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ. That the first thing is that they believe in the unseen. They believe in the divinity of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala even though they haven't seen Him. They believe that it is Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala who is the one who causes the sun to rise in the east and set in the west. It is Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala who is the one who gives sustenance. It is Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala who is the one who gives all of these things. And therefore the very first quality of a believer is, and a person who has taqwa, is to rectify his aqaid and his beliefs. It is absolutely imperative that a person who has taqwa has the correct beliefs, because without the correct beliefs, if a person believes, many a time, in one hadith I was just reading this morning, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that a time is going to come close on to Qiyamah when the person, he gets up as a believer, but by the time the evening comes, he's a disbeliever. And the time he starts his evening as a believer, by the time the morning comes, he's a disbeliever. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, at the end of that hadith, he says, يَبِيعُ دِينَهُ بِعَرَضٍ مِّنَ الدُّنْيَا. A person sells off his deen for some miserable possessions of the worldly life. Sells off his deen means what? It means he gives preference over the dunya, over deen to dunya. He gives preference to the commands of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala over, he gives preference to his desires over the commands of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. He gives preference to the pressures that his peers put upon him over the commands of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that that will cause him to lose his faith and his iman. So that is the very first thing that we as believers need to secure. And that is our aqaid and our belief system. And we need to be careful about that in as far as our children are concerned as well. Recently I heard a talk of one alim, and he said a very interesting thing. He said that if a person is a doctor and he has a child, so that is that child, by virtue of being born in the house of a doctor, automatically a doctor? Or a person is an engineer and he has a child, is that child who is born in the house of an engineer automatically an engineer because he is born in the house of an engineer? And similarly, if a person is an alim or a hafiz, or he has some degree of deen, so are his children automatically that because they are born in that household? That's not the case. In fact, a small little child from the amongst the Ansar, I took him one morning, he was visiting South Africa, he's 9 or 10 years old, and he's from the Banu Sa'idah tribe, a real Ansari child. He's from the direct descendants of Hazrat Sahal ibn Sa'ad al-Sa'idi. 9 years old. And I took him to the Taqwa Boys School and I asked him to say a few words to those children. Now that little young child, I introduced him and I said that he is from the Ansar. He is a real descendant of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. So that young little child, he spoke for 2 or 3 minutes, but he said to the children, he said, Sahih anni min al-Ansar. He said, Sahih, anni min al-Ansar. He said, it is true that I am from amongst the Ansar. And no one can dispute that. Lakin la yanfa'uni hadha an-nasab yawm al-qiyamah. But this lineage is not going to benefit me on the day of Qiyamah. It's my actions that are going to benefit me. So nevertheless, none of those people who we discussed just now become doctors or engineers or hafiz or maulanas or muftis by virtue of being born in the house of believers or in the houses of those of people with that vocation. In a similar way, it is not guaranteed that because we are born in the house of a believer, or our children are born in the houses of believers, that's why automatically they are believers. Of course they are believers, because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that kullu mawludin yuladu ala al-fitra. Every child is born upon Iman and Islam. But it does not mean that Iman and Islam is guaranteed to remain in that child just because the parent is a Muslim or a believer. There is an incident of our own province where a young little child, the grandfather, his parents had passed away. So the grandfather thought that, you know what, let me take my child for Umrah. So he took the child for Umrah and he says to the child now that now pray. We are at the Kaaba, pray. So that young child, he knew not how to pray. He didn't know any better. Whatever he had learnt in school, he learnt. So he stood in front of the Kaaba Sharif, and I'm speaking about KwaZulu Natal. He stood in front of the Kaaba Sharif with his hands like that, and he says, Jesus Christ who art in heaven. So don't we have to be concerned about the belief systems of our children? It doesn't just happen automatically. There's an effort that's required to make sure that our belief systems are correct, and that is the first salient quality of a muttaqeen, servant of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, وَيُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةِ. And the muttaqeen, the servants of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala who adopt taqwa, who have acquired the objective of their lives, the purpose of the month of Ramadan, which is coming, is that they establish their salah. Our salah is to be established. It is not supposed to be just up, down and kiss the ground and back to town. That's not the method, how salah is supposed to be performed. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that the first thing that we are going to be questioned about on the day of Qiyamah is our salah. As-salatu imaduddin. Salah is the pillar of deen. Man aqamaha faqad aqamaddin. The person who establishes salah, he has established deen. The person who has man hadamaha faqad hadamaddin. The person who destroys his salah, he has destroyed deen. And how does a person destroy his salah? There are so many ways, and I don't think we need a lot of explanation about how we destroy our salah. But perhaps the very blatant one is unbothered about whether we perform our salah or not. The vast majority of the ummah doesn't get up for Fajr salah, and men in the masjid. So then where is our taqwa? Where is our iman? And if we perform our salah, then there is hardly any khushu, any dedication, any concentration in that salah. It's just going up and down. And some of us, we don't wear the appropriate attire when we perform our salah. So all of these things are associated with destruction and destroying of salah. A person came to the masjid of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and he made his salah. And it was the period of tarbiyah for the sahaba. So this person, he came to the masjid and he made his salah and it was very, very fast. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to him, irji' fasalli fa innaka lam tusalli. That, oh my sahabi, go back and perform your salah. Because you haven't performed your salah. You might have done the motions. You might have gone up and down. You did your ruku and your sajd. But it's not salah. That's not salah. Irji' fasalli fa innaka lam tusalli. So the narrator says that this person, he went back and he performed his salah. And you can assume that he would have performed his salah slightly better than what it was. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to him, oh my sahabi, irji' fasalli fa innaka lam tusalli. You still haven't done it correctly. You still haven't done it correctly. It's not done. It's not how a muttaqeen performs his salah. So he went back and he performed it. And again Rasulullah said, you can assume again that he must have felt that there's something wrong with it. So he would have tried to he might have made it a little bit more slower. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam again said to him, O my Sahabi, irji' fa salli, fa innaka lam tusalli. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli. That pray salah like you see me performing my salah. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that the coolness of my eyes is in salah. And it's a dua, it's a conversation with Allah subhanahu. Just imagine, put things into context. That a person, he wants to request his boss at work, he's an employee, so he wants to request his employer for a raise. So he goes and stands in front of the employer, and he says to the employer, give me a raise, Ameen. So did he understand anything? Did the employer understand anything? So how is he conversing? When we won't do that in front of our employers, how dare we do that in front of Rabbul Alameen, in front of Allah subhanahu. Ya Allah, guide us to the straight. Ihdina sirat al-mustaqim. Sirat al-ladina an'amta alayhi. It's a dua. We are asking, we're beseeching, we're supplicating before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And yet we don't know, many of us don't know whether it's the third or fourth rakat that we're making even. One person, he came to the masjid and he told the imam, no one knew that the imam made three rakats of Asr Salah. But this person, he told the Mawlana, Mawlana, you definitely made three rakats. He said, but no one else is saying it. What do you mean I made three rakats of Asr Salah? No one else is saying. He said, I know, I can take qasam upon qasam that you made three rakats only. So he knew that the Mawlana made three rakats. So he said, okay, tell me how you know that. He said, because I got four shops, I do the accounting of each shop in each rakat. Today's asr, I only finished three shops accounting. So if that is going to be the condition of our salah, then where is our iqamatus salah? So that's the second quality of the believers. The second quality of the believers is that they establish their salah. They do the salah how it is supposed to be done. A person, sahaba, they were shot at with arrows, and they would dare break their salah because the enjoyment that they received in that salah. But it requires a little bit of concentration and again programming. That's all it requires. Not a lot of hard work. Just programming, that we want to do it, we want to achieve it. Then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says that the third quality of the muttaqeen is that وَالَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُوا وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ that they spend in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. From whatever we bless them with, they spend. Irrespective, in another place Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks again about the muttaqeen. He speaks about Jannat and he says that Jannat u'iddat lil muttaqeen. It is for the muttaqeen. And there the first quality that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Alladheena yunfiquna fis sarra wad darra. That there are those who spend in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in times of prosperity and also in times of adversity. Even when the goings are tough, they still spend in the path of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala to whatever extent they can. On the occasion of the battle of Tabuk, it's narrated in the books of hadith that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sat on the minbar and he encouraged the sahaba to spend in the path of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he stood up and he says, Ya Rasulullah, alayya mi'atu ba'irin. I will give and I pledge 100 camels fully loaded in the path of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam said, Hazrat Uthman sat down. Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam went on encouraging the sahaba. Again Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu stood up and he said, I'll give 200 camels. Again he sat down. Again Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam continued. And he ended up giving 300 camels. Fully laden, 300 like those trucks, 40 foot containers, let's say in our times. 40-foot containers, fully laden with all, everything. The Sahabi who narrates the hadith, he says, I saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam descending from the minbar, and on his tongue was, Ma ala Uthman ma amila ba'da hadhi, Ma ala Uthman ma amila ba'da hadhi. That Uthman does not have to worry about what he does after today. Can you imagine that spending that they did in the path of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala? Yet it was not only the wealthy Sahaba. Those who had a little bit would give a little bit in the path. And that is a quality of the muttaqeen. In one Eid bayan, I remember Hazrat Yunus Patel sahab rahmatullah alayhi, he said that one of the qualities of the servants of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, wa fi yadihi ata, in his hand is giving. All the time he gives, he spends in the path of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So when it comes closer to the month of Ramadan, then a lot of the Muslims and believers tend to discharge their zakat. And in addition to their zakat, they also give a lot of nafil sadaqah. But there are ways of doing it. Therefore, in one verse of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِلزَّكَاتِ فَاعِلُونَ, that the believers are those who do their zakat. It's not just about discharging or giving it away. There are rules, directions, guidelines. And there's no time to go into the detailed rules of zakat. But there are rules about how we give our zakat, to whom we are allowed to give our zakat, how we calculate our zakat, to whom we are not allowed to give our zakat. So there are rules of that, and we must acquaint ourselves with those rules as well. And together with that, a time comes at this time of the year when people need to discharge their zakat. So they give whatever they have, anything. On one occasion we had someone gave a whole consignment of shoes, but only the right leg. So dead stock. So how is that zakat going to be accepted? How are you going to find so many people with only one foot? وَلَسْتُمْ بِآخِذِهِ إِلَّا أَن تُغْمِذُوا فِيهِ. The Quran warns us of giving those things in sadaqah and in zakat, that we will not take ourselves unless we close our eyes. So we need to be careful about that as well. Then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala mentions, وَالَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْكَ. And the muttaqeen are those who believe in what was revealed to you, O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There are those who believe in that, who have yaqeen in that, in the Quran Sharif. And belief in the Quran means that we imbibe every verse of the Quran, that we believe in it to be from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that we strive to practice upon every verse. And how are we ever going to practice upon it when we never made an effort to understand what is in there? Jis tarah se tota maina ko kuch bol sikhaye jaate hain, jis tarah se tota maina ko kuch bol sikhaye jaate hain, is tarah sikhaya jata hoon, is tarah padhaya jata hoon. That just like how we teach one parrot how to say some words, like that I am taught, the Quran Sharif is complaining, and that is how I am recited as well. Isn't it a good idea that we start learning some parts of the Quran Sharif, start reading some authentic translation, so that we can be from amongst these. وَالَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْكَ وَمَا أُنزِلَ مِنْ قَبْلِكَ. And they also believe in the revelations that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent to the prophets of the past. That's why a believer believes in the Torah that was revealed to Musa alayhi salam, not the distorted one. يُحَرِّفُونَ الْكَلِمَ عَمَّ وَاضِعِ. The Quran says that these people, the Jews and Christians, they have distorted them. So we don't believe in the distorted versions, but we believe in the ones that were sent down by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we believe in the Injil that was sent down to Isa alayhi salam, and we believe in the Zabur that was sent down to Dawud alayhi salam, and we believe in the Suhuf of Ibrahim and Musa alayhi salam. We believe in all of these. وَبِالْ آخِرَةِ هُمْ يُوقِنُونَ. And a believer, one who has taqwa, one who has achieved and acquired the purpose of the month of Ramadan, he has absolute certainty in the Akhirat. And again, this is such a theme. Such a theme in the Holy Quran that hardly a page goes by or a few verses go by in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not remind the believers of the Akhirat. Hardly. Every page of the Quran, the Akhirat, the Akhirat, the Akhirat. Because that is what is going to stop us. The worldly life, Maulana Yunus Patel sahab rahmatullah alayhi said that the belief in the Akhirat and the certainty of the Akhirat, that is the break. That is what is going to stop us from doing things which are wrong. That is what is going to take us to do things which are correct. The Akhirat. And if a person does not have belief in the Akhirat, then he used to say, then we will need police to police the police. We will need police to police the police. And isn't that the case? Don't we have police? And then we got hawks. And then we got scorpions. And then we got other animals. Don't we have all these things to police the police? وَبِالْآخِرَةِ هُمْ يُوقِنُونَ. The first thing that we as believers say in the morning when we get up, Alhamdulillahi alladhi ahyana ba'da ma amatana. Oh Allah, we thank you for giving us life after death, for waking us up after sleep. It could have stopped there. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, add on to this dua, wa ilayhi nushur. That, oh Allah, we are coming to you. Right from the morning, when you get up in the morning, the first thing that you say is that you reflect and ponder that life is temporary. We're coming to you, oh Allah. Wa bil akhirati hum yuqinun. So these are some qualities that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the beginning verses of the Holy Quran about who the muttaqeen are. And in other verses, quite a few other qualities. Let us take out some time and try and understand in an effort to prepare for the month of Ramadan. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq of amal. May Allah ta'ala remove the problems, the difficulties, the calamities that the ummah around the world is suffering in. May He grant everyone prosperity. May He remove everyone's sicknesses. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.